I don't know how many of you like going to scary movies, but I confess, I do not like it at all. In fact, if there's a scene in a movie that I'm watching that's a little terrifying, you know, I'll act like I'm reaching down and adjusting the popcorn or the seat and so on, just to turn away. How would you feel if I told you that people in the Bible, when they heard from God, they trembled with fear? Let me show you what I mean. The psalmist in Psalm 119, 120 says, I tremble for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Or how about this? The prophet Jeremiah, my bones tremble like a drunken man because of the Lord's words. His contemporary Daniel put it like this: I saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. Today, I want to convince you that one of my problems in life, one of your problems, is a lack of being awed by God. In our study from Habakkuk, I want to show you where, when one of God's people hears from God, there should be fear, there should be trembling, there should be awe. Now, the problem is when we think of the word fear, we define it the way I do, going into a movie, not wanting to be terrified. But that's not the biblical word for fear at all. In fact, let me show you the difference. Over the course of my life, I've had the privilege of meeting, I think, 3 or 4 presidents of the United States. George Bush, Gerald Ford. There's a great story about me meeting Gerald Ford in Tulsa kind of unexpectedly. And then just a few years ago, I think about 5 years ago, my wife and I were in Norman and I was speaking at a conference. And we were sitting around a table with about 12 other people. And I felt this hand on my back. And I heard this voice say, I'd like to meet one of my heroes. And I turned around and it's former President Jimmy Carter. And I stand up and I said, Mr. President, I said, it's great to meet you. He said, Wade, I've been reading what you've been writing for almost a decade. He said, I wanted to meet you. Well, he invited me to his presidential office in Atlanta. And so I flew there. And when I went into his office and sat down, it was just me and him and a couple of other friends who went with me. I was awed by President Carter. Now, I realize that a lot of people across the United States think he was a lousy president. And in fact, in some polls, he's ranked at the bottom. But my point is this. I respected the man. I was awed by him and what he's doing since he left the presidency with Habitat for Humanity and so on. Now, do you know how you can know I was awed? What the Bible calls in fear? I remember everything he said to me. Everything. In fact, while we were talking, there were a couple of phone calls that interrupted the 2-hour meeting. And one was from a mutual friend, Rick Warren, who's pastor at California Saddleback, who wrote Purpose Driven Life. He was calling from North Korea because he couldn't get out. And I remember all that Jimmy Carter said to the people on the other end of the phone and so on, trying to help Rick. Here's my point. One of the problems we have in our lives today is we're not awed by God. So when he speaks, we don't even listen. Let me show you what I mean. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to what the prophet writes. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionoth. Now let me pause right there and explain to you what Habakkuk is saying and what the word Shigionoth means. Habakkuk chapter 3 is a prayer from Habakkuk to the Lord. And he introduces it in verse 1 by saying a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet to the Lord, Shigionoth. The word Shigionoth is a Hebrew word, which refers to a musical tune or meter that's erratic or very irregular. It would be like listening to music in a scene of a movie that is very dramatic, sometimes very dark, and you have these minor notes that are being played in the background in an erratic fashion. That's the word Shigionoth. You say, well, hang on just a moment. But this is a prayer of Habakkuk. Why does he refer to music? Well, you're probably thinking about praying to God like we do in the Western world. We speak to him like we do our spouses at the breakfast table or our kids. I mean, we converse. But in the Hebrew history, when God's people prayed, they sang. Now, we would call it chanting. You can sometimes hear it today if you go to Israel to the Temple Mount and you go underneath into the dark hallways where the young Hebrew Orthodox priests are studying. You will hear them pray, and it's like they're singing in Hebrew. And so what you have here in Habakkuk chapter 3 is the prophet singing his prayer. And he wants you to get a sense or an emotion of fear. Verse 2, Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. Oh, Lord, revive your work in the midst of years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Now, that's our text, only two verses, and I want to spend just a few moments when we'll be done. And I want to give you some encouragement, and I want to speak from my heart to you. First, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom in my life. Now, if you're reading from the King James Version, I kind of like the translation of verse 2 from the King James better than the New American Standard, which I read to you just a moment ago. Listen to what the Authorized Version says. Oh, Lord, I have heard your report, and I fear. Now, what is Habakkuk talking about? What report from the Lord has he heard that has caused him to be in awe? Well, you know how Habakkuk opens if you've been a part of our study over the last few weeks. Habakkuk, who is a professional priest who works in Jerusalem among God's chosen people, the Jews, he is speaking to the people every Shabbat or Sabbath the word of God, but they're paying no attention. They don't care. Their hearts are cold toward each other and toward God. There's a lot of violence out in the streets. People are not even thinking about God. And so Habakkuk opens up his book complaining to God, saying, God, how long will your people be so cold? How long are you going to allow your people, your chosen people among the nations, to not even care for your law or for each other? And then in chapter 1, you remember, God gives to Habakkuk a vision answering what Habakkuk has asked by saying, and you can read it for yourself, Habakkuk, listen, I love my people, and I'm about to do an astonishing, marvelous work in their lives, so incredible that if someone were to whisper it in your ear, you wouldn't even believe them. And then God says in Habakkuk chapter 1, I'm going to raise up those wicked Babylonians, that fierce nation who hates my people, and they will come to discipline my people Israel. And Habakkuk objects, and he says, whoa, stop, God. Stop right there. And he begins to argue with God in chapter 1. He says, God, that's not right. We're your people. You love us. Do you know who these Babylonian folks are? They're wicked King Nebuchadnezzar. He is known for taking hooks and putting them through the cheeks of the men that he captures and dragging them back to Babylon like fishermen drag fish out of the sea. God, what are you doing? Where's your wisdom? You love us, don't you? And then Habakkuk chapter 2 opens with God responding to Habakkuk by saying, Habakkuk, relax. Listen to me. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do a good work among my people. And even though you can't see it because it seems so dark, the just shall live by faith. Meaning, and I'll say this to anyone in this room who professes faith in Jesus Christ. When things begin to happen around you that you don't understand, when your world turns dark and giants rise up that seem to tower over you, wanting to destroy you, and you're asking yourself the question, where is my God? Here's the answer. He's right there in the middle of what's happening. And he's calling you to live by faith. To trust that he's working something for your good, even when you can't see it. You faith it till you see it. And then God describes in chapter 2 to Habakkuk all that he knows about the Babylonian people and all that they will do and how it will work for good. And now Habakkuk chapter 3 opens up and we find Habakkuk in prayer and he says from his heart, chanting to the Lord, cue the music in the background. Erratic, dark music. I am in awe. I have heard your report and I fear. The word fear there in verse 2 is the same word used in Psalm 119, verse 120, where the psalmist writes, my flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe. Listen, those who oppose God have no fear of God, none at all. One of the reasons our world is so dark is because nobody pays any attention to what God is saying. Romans 3, verse 18, the Apostle Paul puts it like this, the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. But the wise person fears God and lives life well. Let me show you something. If your concept of God is that he wants you to have a miserable life, you've missed God. No. God is so good, and he made you in his image so much that his desire is that you live your life in reflection of him. What does he look like? He's selfless. He's kind. He's loving. He's forgiving. He's patient. He's generous. He's everything Christ is. For Christ said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And the purpose of God for your life is to reflect that image. But unfortunately, many of us can be like God's ancient people, the Hebrews. We don't want to hear from God. We don't want to follow God. We want nothing to do with God. We have no awe of God. And we pay no attention to what he says. But when Habakkuk heard God, he feared. I want to be Habakkuk. Wisdom only begins for me when I fear the Lord. You say, what do you mean? Well, this is what the Bible teaches. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom for your life. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. When you begin to tremble at the knowledge that God is speaking to you, when you begin to recognize that the Lord, your Creator, is talking to you in his word, man, you're going to pay attention. Because he knows how you're to live your life, for your life to be the smoothest. It reminds me of the story when the astronauts put the lunar module on the moon. It broke down. I think there's a good movie out called First Man that talks about Neil Armstrong being the first man on the moon. But after he was on the moon, astronauts came and put the lunar module on to explore the surface of the moon, and it broke down. And so there was a meeting in Houston at Central Control. What do we do? How do we fix it? And someone in that group said, I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to call the inventor of the lunar module. We need to call the person who created it. So they did. They got him on speakerphone. They explained the problem. You know what he did? He fixed it. Have you ever considered that if your life ever goes into dysfunction and you begin to break down, the person you need to speak to is the one who created you? Now, hearing what God says and doing it requires other graces that the Spirit gives. Here's what I mean by that. There are times in my life when I will hear from God, I'm in awe of Him, I know He is speaking to me, but for some reason, I ignore it. God speaks to me usually one of three ways, either mostly through His Word, secondarily through people around me, my friends, and His work. Now here's the thing. I would always prefer to hear God through His Word than to experience God through His work. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says, Hebrews 12, verse 8. If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate. You are not the true sons and daughters of God. Discipline has gotten a really bad word in our day, but it's a good word. It speaks of being a disciple. Now, let me show you what was happening in the days of Habakkuk among God's people. And maybe you can see a parallel to your own life today. Habakkuk's job, Jeremiah's job, Isaiah's job, Daniel's job, all the jobs of the prophets of the southern kingdom was to speak to the people what God was saying. That's what a prophet is. It's not necessarily someone who foretells the future. It's someone who tells another what God has said. You know what Habakkuk and Jeremiah and Isaiah were saying to the Jews? Guys, listen to us. Our brothers of the 10 tribes of northern Israel, when they split from us back in 931, they began to fall into idolatry. They began killing their own brothers and sisters. They were offering their children to false idols in human sacrifice. And you know what God did? He brought the Assyrians to destroy them in 722 BC. Guys, listen to me. You better repent, or the same thing is going to happen to us. 15 years after Habakkuk wrote Habakkuk, in 586 BC, the Babylonians came to Judah, and King Nebuchadnezzar and his men climbed the walls of Jerusalem, destroyed them, put hooks in the cheeks of the Jewish men, and dragged them into Babylonian captivity, the country that today we would call Iraq. And this work of God, because remember, it was God raising up the Babylonians, was all due to the fact that the Jews ignored the word of God of what happened through the Assyrians in the northern kingdom in 722 BC. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You have an option. I have an option this morning. Habakkuk spoke words of repentance to the people, and he was ignored. So Habakkuk then felt the work of repentance with the people. God, in His love for you, when your heart grows cold and selfish, when you stop reflecting the image of your Heavenly Father, when you don't forgive, when you're not patient, when you're not generous, when you're not kind, when your heart does not reflect the nature of your Father after being born again by his Spirit. The Lord sends prophets. Maybe it's a mom who prays for you. Maybe it's a grandma or granddad. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's a friend who is courageous enough to tell you the truth. And sometimes when you're around your friend who tells you the truth, it feels like a knife being stuck in your heart. But maybe you ought to step back and pause and realize that your friend may be a modern-day Habakkuk who is telling you what God is doing and what it is God desires for you. Because if you don't listen, if you're not awed by what God is saying, if there's no trembling or fear of your Creator because of what he has spoken to you from his word, then the next step is taken. God will do a work. Now here's the thing about God's work in my life. It is never pleasing. It's one of the reasons why we need to be sympathetic when people come to church and they really don't feel like singing or rejoicing and raising their hands. We don't need to condemn or cast a leery eye on that person who is just sitting there, hands in their pockets, listening as people sing. Do you know why? Because sometimes when I'm in worship and I've ignored the word of God, the background music in my life is Shigionoth. Dark and erratic, because God is moving in a very humiliating and painful way. But never forget that he loves you, and you are never beyond the grace of God. It may take a few years in exile, but God will never abandon his people, and we will always come back, because God has set his affection upon us. And if his word doesn't break through, his work will. The greatest prayer I can pray is for the Lord to bring revival to my heart. This is the prayer of Habakkuk. This is what he's praying. Verse 2, revive your work. You see the word there? Revival. Revive your work in the midst of the years. Make it known in wrath. Remember mercy. Now, wrath there, that's another word that we don't understand very much today. When we think of wrath or anger, we think of a dysfunctional dad who's drunk, who comes in and beats us and so on. Oh, no, that's not the wrath of God. That is not the anger of God, for heaven's sake. He's a good father. He made us. He knows what we are to be, and he knows how our lives can be so smooth when we reflect his image. But from our perspective, when the Babylonians rise up and come attack us and destroy everything we call precious, it looks as if God is really angry. The truth of the matter is, he's not. It's just you've ignored his word, and now you're feeling his work. I would much rather respond to the word of God than the work of God. You say, well, Pastor, how can I get to the place where, like Habakkuk, I hear God's word and I tremble? I am so in awe of what he says that I'm going to do it. That when I read the Sermon on the Mount and it says, turn your other cheek so that your enemy can strike you there instead of striking back. I want the power of the Spirit to enable me to do that, because that is so contrary to what everybody's saying. How can I be broken by the word of Christ and not the work of Christ? I close with this, only one way. Do you remember that passage that says, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels? Broken clay jars is the literal translation, that the excellency of the power within might be of him and not us. Do you know what that verse means? The treasure of the presence of God in me will be seen in all his power when I acknowledge I'm cracked and broken and shattered. It's one of the reasons why in Celebrate Recovery every Thursday night, when we go, anyone with hurts, hang-ups, and habits, pastoral staffs working through the principles ourselves, we sit down and we say, "Hi, I'm Wade Burleson. I'm a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I struggle with," and we acknowledge what our struggles are. Why? Because until I stop pointing my finger at you and blaming you for the pain I'm in, I'll never find the healing power of God in me. But when I can look at you and say, "Hey, let me tell you about myself. I struggle. You're not the source of my pain. I've gone a direction that I shouldn't have gone because I have refused to hear my God." Then all of a sudden, the power of God begins to move within you. And soon, the character of God will be seen through you, forgiving, loving, non-judgmental, caring, generous, gracious. You do what you do not to be seen. You do what you do for your Lord. And then all of a sudden, you begin to transform. Why? Because you've admitted to other people you are broken. In religious circles, we've learned how to hide really, really, really good. And it's one of the reasons the power of God is off the institutional church. But when people begin to be in awe of God, then when God speaks, they will listen. We say to people all the time, "Do you know what sin disqualifies you from membership at Emmanuel?" None. None. And I mean it, none. Except the sin of refusing to listen to God. Are you hearing him this morning? It may be just as simple as a little passage from the Sermon on the Mount where God is showing you something about yourself. Are you listening to him? It may be a word from a friend that has said something to you and God is speaking through your friend. Are you listening? You are never beyond the reach of the grace of God. And I don't care how much you have messed up or screwed up, God doesn't give up on his people. But if you're in a dark time and the Shigionoth music is playing behind you, it may be because there's been a few months or years that you've refused to listen to your God. My prayer this morning is that the message of Habakkuk will speak to my heart so that when I leave this place, I have a fresh understanding of what it means to be in awe of my God.